Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Greg Kelly, who's the CEO of World Mission, and we're going to really talk about reaching the unreached. In fact, there's an International Day of Prayer for the Unreached on Pentecost Sunday, May 20, 2018, and Greg is going to talk about that, plus the whole goal of just reaching the world for Christ. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jerry. Great to be with you today.
Okay. So give us a world picture here in terms of the progress of the gospel. Clearly, there are many millions and millions who've heard about Jesus, say, in the last century. But there's still a lot of work yet to be done.
Oh, my goodness. We've got a lot of work to do, Jerry. A lot of reason to celebrate, though, I might add. I mean, you've got 7.5 billion people in the world here in early 2018. And what they say is that there's still about 2.5 billion that have never heard the gospel for the first time. Now, that is approximately the number of Christians there are in the world as well. So they're the same number of Christians as the same number of people who are yet to hear the gospel for the first time. So like I said, there's a lot of progress, a lot of things we can celebrate, but we certainly have a lot of work to do as far as the Great Commission's concerned.
Well, where would most of these 2.5 billion that have not heard about Jesus live?
Well,
Muslim
countries, because we do know where the majority of them at. They say 9 out of 10 of the people who have never heard the gospel are in the Eastern Hemisphere, just north of the equator. If you drew a line from Senegal over to the Philippines, missions terms, they call that the 10-40 window, 10 degrees north and then 40 degrees north of the equator, just that box. 90% of the people who have never heard of Jesus live right in that area. So you're going to have it's starting in North Africa and the Middle East, of course, primarily a Muslim area. And then as you're moving east and you go in through Pakistan and then India and Nepal, that's a Hindu area. And then as you get over towards Thailand and some of those other countries like Myanmar, you're going to find mainly Buddhism. But those are predominantly the three major religions that are occupying that area.
Isn't it true that basically a lot of the leaders, like let's say some of the Hindu leaders or the Muslim leaders and so forth, would actively discourage any kind of, evangelistic outreach? They don't want the gospel to penetrate their people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they are driven by, what we would consider a false religion. But for Christians, I mean, we have nothing really to, worry about, so to speak. I would put the truth of Christianity and the gospel up against anything. And if anybody were just to look honestly with an open mind at the evidence of Christianity, at the reality and the truth that Jesus came to this earth, that he is the Son of God, that he died for your sins. I mean, at the end of the day, the truth of the gospel trumps any other religion. And so, they're definitely going to be fighting for their territory, both physically and spiritually.
Okay. Now, in the meantime, the goal to try and reach people in those communities, the day of the Western missionary going over to preach the gospel is not all but dead, but it's not the way, it's not the same model anymore, especially just somebody going over for proclamation ministry, I would assume.
Yeah, that's a real challenge, Jerry. I mean, it's an outstanding point, and it is a different approach. Back 100 years ago when the American or European missionary went over, they would pack everything into, it was a one-way trip. So it went in a casket. All of their earthly belongings went in that casket, and they knew it was a one-way trip. And
did they really travel with that? I mean, with a casket as opposed to just a trunk?
Exactly. They would literally pack things 100 years ago into a casket, all of their earthly belongings that they would take. And many of them did. They paid the ultimate price. They gave their lives for bringing the gospel. And, there was much less resistance then. Today, in the climate, as you're alluding to, sending over kind of a Western missionary There are some great challenges to that. What we're seeing is a real movement, even among the Latin American church. There's a lot of missionaries being sent from places, for example, like Brazil. I know of a major initiative right now where Brazilian missionaries are being mobilized and being sent into Lebanon in particular, but throughout the Middle East. And the same can be said for a place like the Philippines. So a lot of the missionaries that are being sent are from other countries outside of America. But I think the real sweet spot is for true indigenous individuals to be raised up from within that country. That is really going to be where the exponential progress is going to get made at.
And that is happening, is it not? I mean, I talk to different ministries and so forth, and I know of different ones where they're supporting, you know, indigenous missionaries.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
I don't know if missionary is the right word, but indigenous workers for the gospel.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that is definitely the sweet spot for a lot of reasons, but one, namely, is the fact that they're from the culture, they speak the language, they understand the people, they just don't have the barriers that you or I, for example, would have to, sort of navigate. So they recognize how to approach, for example, if you're in a Muslim country and you're trying to present Christianity, most of the people we work with will start with the Old Testament. They're not starting in the genealogy in Matthew, which, you know, 3 minutes into your discussion with them, you're saying Jesus is the Son of God, which is a great, you know, that's the real rub between Islam and Christianity, among other things. But they'll use the Old Testament in such a way that they'll point out some of the similarities and some of the stories and some of the characters that are common in the Quran as well, and build bridges, and then ushering them into the prophecies being fulfilled through the Messiah. And then you're able to bring Jesus into the discussion after establishing some common ground. So it's things like that, that national and indigenous missionaries really navigate well, and they bring that cultural commonality to the discussion as well.
Would you say that God is at work in this world, in the sense of, you know, really honing in on those 2.5 billion that haven't even heard, that there's just so many different avenues of ministry, the Jesus film? I understand your particular ministry is involved in getting audio Bibles out there. In fact, why don't you can talk about that for a moment. I think that's interesting, too, as a new avenue of ministry, or it's maybe new to some of our listeners.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that the reason that these places are unreached, and yes, God is at work there, but the by very definition of them being unreached, and why the International Day for the Unreached exists, is because there's not enough resources locally to propagate and facilitate the expansion of the gospel. They need outside assistance. So, which is why the 12 organizations that are part of the day for the unreached have come together, and we're trying to draw awareness to that in the body of Christ, and just saying, hey, everybody, we need to allocate ourselves in such a way that some of our resources are going to these places to help the workers in the ground in these places, because they do not have enough resources. They don't have enough Bibles. They don't have enough churches, certainly enough pastors and leadership training. So we need to come alongside of them, just like somebody did 100 years ago when they first brought the gospel into places like Kenya, which has the highest percentage of evangelicals of any country in the world. But 100 years ago, someone brought their stuff there in a casket and died there so that could be truth today.
I did not know that. Tell us about your particular ministry, World Missions, and tell us specifically about this audio Bible that you're making available.
Yeah, so what we have, Jerry, is a tool called the Treasure, which is about 3 ounces. It's half the size of a lot of people's cell phone, and it's a solar-powered audio Bible. What we realize is that in order to be obedient to what Jesus told us to do, which is make disciples, it's very difficult to make a disciple in the absence of a church and the Word of God. And so where the Word of God is available, when it's been translated, we put it into audio because so many of the people in the places we work are considered oral learners. So that means that not necessarily they're totally illiterate, but they prefer to learn in a non-literate way. And so we have the treasure available in like 3,000 different languages. We put it in the hands of our national leaders on the ground, and they set up listening groups with the goal of seeing churches planted. And we've seen thousands of new churches get planted because simply people gathering around, listening to the Word of God in a Muslim, Buddhist, and Hindu culture, and just having the Word of God do what it does, which it doesn't return void. When we open our hearts to the truth of the Word, it will cause transformation.
Well, okay, explain more about these radios in terms of, or is that what they would be called? And it's not a radio. It's some sort of audio playback machine. But how do you distribute these? And are there thousands? Are there millions in distribution? You know, how's that going?
Yeah, that's a great question. Last year, we distributed about 40,000 individual treasures. So each one has the Word of God in it. If the whole Bible is available, it will have that in audio in the local language. Usually it's at least a New Testament and Old Testament stories as well. And then we set up these listening groups of about 12 people. So they'll gather around and they'll listen for 1, 2, sometimes 3 hours every day, just consuming and absorbing the Word of God. And then our workers will follow up with them, ask them questions. You know, they'll say, hey, did Jesus really walk on water? Did this person get healed? What does this mean or that? And they will help navigate that with them and answer their questions. And again, with the goal of raising up followers of Jesus so that new churches can be planted. So we target the hardest areas of the world. We just do a lot of our distributions in places like Somalia and Myanmar and Mongolia and places where it's just really tricky to go into in conventional ways, but through our national networks, we're able to seed these into those places.
So taking this as an example where you have one of these little groups of 12 people, it's almost like a Bible study, although instead of, you know, everybody bringing their own copy of the Bible or whatever, they're all huddled around listening to this. But are these already converted people or are these potential seekers, or how do you even, you know, find the people to do this, especially in places where it's highly illegal to, you know, proclaim the word of Jesus?
Yeah, exactly. So all the member organizations of the International Day for the Unreached, we all abide by the simple premise of we are targeting the people who have never heard of Jesus. That's our fishing ground.
Wow.
And so we go into these places and we use our national leaders and our networks and we reach out to these people. And it's quite honestly, it's through a cup of cold water. It's through a warm handshake. It's through love. It's friendship evangelism and just encouraging them. And it's through that relationship, in our case, that God opens the door so that we say, hey, let me share something with you. And when they look at the treasure initially, that's they're somewhat curious by it, the novelty of it, and then they see it, and then they hit a couple buttons, and all of a sudden it starts playing Burmese or Mandarin or, you know, Lingala or whatever their language happens to be, and they're drawn into that. And many times we'll hear stories of people saying, your God speaks my language. And that's so powerful to us because it's the idea that Jesus died for everybody. And so we want to target particularly the people who have never heard. And many of our listening groups are made up of people who are hearing the gospel message for the first time in their life.
Huh. Okay, and just a quick overview here in terms of you've mentioned that there's about 12 organizations involved in this, you know, big push to reach the unreached. World Mission, that you're the CEO of, is clearly one of these. Can you name a few of the other groups?
Yeah, absolutely. Bibles for the World, Missio Nexus, Mission Network News, Operation Mobilization, Partners International. Yeah, Zimzam Global, Reach Beyond. So we've got a great network, and I think Joshua Project is one of our newer partners. So we're really kind of a diverse network, but all of us have the same goal of getting the gospel to places that it's never been. But actually, more importantly than that, Jerry.
And we'll close on this.
All of us.
Yeah.
Okay. We all have the initiative to educate and motivate and inspire churches and individuals to find their own expression of making Christ known. That's really what the International Day for the Unreached is all about.
All right, Greg Kelly, again, CEO of World Mission, worldmission.cc for more information. Also, dayfortheunreached.org. Thanks so much for being with us, Greg. God bless and all the best.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.